Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now I'll ask, it's September 20th, why are the New York City school buses still so messed up? School started on the 5th, but still, parents are reporting delays, missed stops, hours-long rides in a few extreme cases, and even drop-offs in the wrong places. As of last Friday, the school bus hotline had received nearly 100,000 complaints in the 2 weeks of this term. And while the Office of Pupil Transportation struggles to get its buses up and running smoothly, now it's also dealing with revelations about its bus driver vetting process. Ben Chapman of the Daily News, my next guest, reported last week that six drivers were found to have prior convictions that should have disqualified them during a routine background check, including drunk driving, domestic abuse, and one of filming a woman in a shower. And separately, his reporting also revealed allegations that as many as 100 other drivers were approved after someone faked the Department of Education screener's signature. Following all of this, one private bus company contracted by the city has had its routes reassigned, and the news from yesterday is that the city plans to overhaul its background check system for drivers. So to talk about what they might replace it with and discuss his reporting on the improper vetting and dysfunction generally within the school bus system, and to take your calls and hear your stories, parents, we are joined by Ben Chapman, education reporter at the Daily News. Hey, Ben, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
And parents, do help us report this story. Have your kids been forced to endure long bus rides, delayed pickups, drop-offs at the wrong stops? Do you live in one of the areas served by Grandpa's bus company, one of those under particular scrutiny? Give us a call. Help us report this story with your experience and your child's experience at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Ben, is this worse than previous years?
Yeah, it is worse than previous years. I've been covering these problems with the school buses for almost a decade now for the Daily News, and this is the worst I've seen it. Compared to last year, the complaints are up 20% this year.
And one of the worst offenders seems to be the Jamaica-based Grandpa's Bus Company, which you report had four routes in Queens reassigned to another company last week. Why is this company being punished in particular, and how much better can we expect its replacement to be?
That's a good question. Grandpa's is being punished because they appear to be, as you stated, a particularly egregious offender. Lots of missed stops, missed pickups, long routes, buses showing up to schools empty with nobody, no kids on the bus.
And that's then
the
principal, really weird.
And then the principal sent the bus back to go get the kids, you know, kind of one thing after another. And so, you know, this is one case where also parents were very outspoken in raising a cry over what was happening with these routes. So this is one of the reasons why the DOE took action on Grandpa's. But, you know, Grandpa's is, you know, just one of, you know, dozens of operators in this city. And the problems are much more widespread than just in District 30 in Queens.
Why is this so hard? One would think that it's not so hard to figure out where, you know, school bus stops are, or if you get a list of particular kids and what their corners are. Why is this so hard?
Well, that's a good question. You know, as with anything with the public school system here in New York City, at 1.1 million kids, it's on a grand, the yellow bus system is on a grand scale, and, you know, it's more complicated than it looks. You know, the school bus system serves 150,000 kids in the city, roughly. Roughly two-thirds of them have disabilities. That makes it larger than any bus system in the world other than that of London. The bus system system is run by, as I stated, dozens of private contractors. There's a history of scandal with these contractors going back, more than a decade. There were ties to organized crime that led to the arrest of a union official in 2008 over racketeering with the Roots. There's been bus strikes. There was a bus strike in 2013 was the most recent one. So it's kind of an ongoing pain point for the city that has hit some sort of boiling point this year.
Let's take a call. Gabe in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gabe.
I'm a racer.
Hello?
Hi, Gabe.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My kid hasn't been picked up since school started. The first day we went out, and this is the first time he's even taken the school bus, and we waited about 45 minutes, and we got no ride, and we couldn't get through to anybody to help us out. The next day we were told it would be fixed, then we waited another 45 minutes. One day I waited an hour and 20 minutes. The driver finally showed up. There wasn't even another kid on the bus because he just skipped all of them or missed them or done something with them. So it's been a real crisis, and we've given up. We're now having to send them on the bus, pay for it out of our pocket, and there's no recourse.
On the city bus.
Yeah, city bus.
They do give out school student passes for those. Maybe they take some time to get through. But
well, and once you've registered for taking the school bus, it's not like you can just switch to a MetroCard, right?
So what do you think is going on, Gabe?
In our case, there's been a little bit of a scenario where the normal bus driver has had surgery, and so he is out until mid-October. That's what we've been told. So, but the problem is the replacement driver doesn't even know the route, doesn't know where he's going. I've been given his cell phone number. I can call him, but he's really – I can't communicate with him. He doesn't seem to even really know how to get where the kids are. So I just think there's a real lack of training and preparation for any of these drivers.
Gabe, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Ben, how do they communicate with the drivers from the dispatcher or whoever it is that's supposed to give them a list of kids and stops? What are they supposed to get? Are they supposed to get individual names? Are they supposed to get individual addresses? Is it a series of set corners in each neighborhood that parents have to deliver their kids to? How does this actually work in theory?
It's sort of all of those things. What happens is the drivers show up at the bus yard very early in the morning, 4:30, 5 o'clock, ideally is the way it's supposed to go down, and then they will receive their routes and they'll begin picking up kids. Unfortunately, what happens very often, way too often, is that you have a scenario like Gabe's here, which is not uncommon, and you have a bus driver who doesn't know the routes. They're supposed to know the routes, but they don't know the routes. And, I think that it's worth underscoring, how chaotic and painful this is for the experience of the families. Again, 2/3 of the kids on these buses have disabilities, and they're oftentimes young kids, and they may be missing for hours without the parents knowing where they are.
And do the drivers get a list of particular names, like you're supposed to pick up Dean on Dean Street or whatever it is?
Sure, yeah, that would be the case. They may pick up, depending on whether it's a general education route or a special education route, they may pick up kids in their houses. They may pick them up at another location, as you maybe a corner.
Falani in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Falani.
Good morning. I just wanted to sort of echo some of the sentiments of your last caller as well as your guest of the frustrations of a parent not knowing particularly where their child is. And I have called a couple times during the Ask the Mayor segment to talk to the mayor about some of the issues that we've experienced with the school bus. But
I remember.
Yes, particular to this, there are many times I have to call Office of Pupil Transportation because my daughter, who rides a general education route, is not dropped off at the time that she's supposed to be dropped off. When you call OPT, they have to then put you on hold to contact the bus company. And my daughter's specific bus company, Bobby's Bus Company, no one ever answers the phone. I will call them on my cell phone, call OPT on the home phone, and just try to get on the phone. But it's a very scary experience if your child is over an hour late and the city can't get in, in touch with the contractor that they've contracted to take your kids home from school. Very frightening.
So, Ben, there's a new question for you to report on. Where's Bobby?
The caller makes a good point. I can say from experience that it is very difficult to reach operators at these school buses. I've been calling them many, many times, many different operators over my reporting over since this crisis has sort of kicked off at the beginning of the year, and it's hard to get people on the phone.
And Falani, you want to tell us, since the previous caller, Gabe, did what his backup plan has turned out to be, which is putting his kid on the city bus. How are you getting through these first weeks of school if it's still so inconsistent when the bus comes?
Luckily, I have a pretty understanding and flexible employer, so I will just either, leave and dash out and try to go retrieve my child. But I know that most parents don't have that flexibility, and I don't know how long I'll continue to have that flexibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, wherever you fall on the issue of school choice, whether you believe that you should go to your zone school or you should be have the ability to go whatever school, you still need to be able to get your child to mm-hmm. and from school, not only in a timely fashion, but also safely.
Thank you so much, and keep calling us, Falani, and telling us if things straighten out. As we continue with Ben Chapman, education reporter from the Daily News, on the big school bus mess so far this school year, and on top of the problems with the buses arriving on time or arriving at all in many cases, there are now revelations about inadequate vetting. The latest news is that the city is overhauling its vetting system for bus drivers. But Ben, you broke this story, right? What did you learn?
Well, basically, the DOE had been using what is called a 13-county background check that they claim actually entails 62 counties. Why it's called 13 county and it actually does 62 counties, I don't know. But
I think 62, it might be the number of counties in New York State.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. But it's known as the 13-county background check. Basically what it was is a fairly limited background check that was backed up by the background check that the DMV was doing. We found many cases where individuals, and this is with an investigative reporter at the news, Graham Raymond, we found many cases of bus drivers with, as you said at the top of the segment, significant criminal backgrounds, DUIs, assaults, weird peeping Tom stuff.
How did you find these incidents, these backgrounds, if the Department of Education didn't?
Well, there's a retired NYPD detective who's been running the driver vetting for the Office of Pupil Transportation. And this is a gentleman who revealed that other officials within the Education Department had been using his electronic signature without his knowledge to sign off on more than 100 drivers between April and now. So we have sources within the Office of Pupil Transportation who helped us flag some names, and then it was a matter of Graham looking up the criminal histories of these folks.
And if they boast about a 62 county background check, which I'm going to take as meaning every county in New York, does that mean they don't look at far-flung places in New Jersey like Fort Lee and Jersey City?
That was my understanding, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, and again, the folks in OPT were calling a 13-county background check, and now, the brass at the DOE is saying it's a 62-county check. But in any case, you're looking at a limited number of counties. You could have done whatever in a different state, and that particular background check wouldn't have found it.
Right. So we know they may not have committed a crime in the Adirondacks, but Cliffside Park, we can't really say.
Right.
Let's take another parent call. Allison on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Allison.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And I want to really thank Ben Chapman from the Daily News for bringing this story out, because it affects so many people. But I'm calling to say that while this year is horrible, it's been bad in the past. I don't know if everyone knows, but if you have a special ed kid attending a non-public school, OPT buses them as well. And my autistic son was attending a new private school last fall. And 2-hour delays, 3 hours delay, changing who the route was assigned to after a week of disasters. I mean, 24 hours in a week spent on hold with OBT. Mr. Chapman's right. The scale is enormous, and that's part of the problem. But so this is not – I think you said that the number of calls is up 20% over last year. So think about what the volume was last year. It was already enormous. So this is more of the same but worse. So if it's getting attention now, well, thank goodness for that. Now we'll see if there's a solution.
Allison, thank you so much. What about the forged signatures, which was another part of your story? That is, on the vetting process, that people who got through and got approved to be bus drivers, some of those reports were not really signed by the people who were supposed to sign them?
Yeah, well, that's what Eric Reynolds, the former NYPD detective who had been tasked with approving drivers' background checks, said, was that basically he hadn't seen any of these background checks. And, other officials within the education department had used his electronic signature without his knowledge to sign off on them. When I went to the education department to ask him about that, they indicated that that was indeed within policy for other people, clerical workers, to use somebody else's electronic signature to sign off on these background checks. But then just a couple days later, they're overhauling the whole thing. So now the vetting process is going to be handled by a different division. It's going to entail a more significant background check process. There's going to be fingerprinting. There's going to be interviews where needed. So they're overhauling the whole deal.
I did wonder a little bit if this story is a distraction coming at this time. If the big problem is getting the school buses to run properly and pick up the kids properly, and if there's no actual problem with bus drivers committing crimes against the children, then whatever happens on paper with respect to the vetting might be a distraction from what we should be really talking about. Am I right to be concerned about that?
I think you are. I mean, it's not very easy for the city to fix the vetting process. But, I mean, we're talking about, something on the order of 12,000 drivers and matrons in the system. So it's not on education department scale, it's not a gigantic number of people. I mean, it is, but it's not compared to the 145,000 who work for the system as a whole. What's much more difficult than overhauling the vetting process is actually fixing the system so that kids don't have to sit on buses for 4 hours routinely every year at the start of the school year and then endure other, problems throughout the year. And this is a more difficult problem. There are some, potential, improvements that can be made. I believe in Houston, they use a GPS system on buses, which is our Chancellor Richard Carranza's former district. In that way, at least parents can tell where the bus is. You know what I'm saying? And that way they can at least anticipate when the kid's going to be home or et cetera. So that's one solution. But really, you're looking at a gigantic system, that's run by all these contractors who've been doing it forever. And to me, it looks like there's not a lot of accountability happening.
In the interest of fairness and a full picture, I think we have a caller whose kids' buses are working pretty well. Sam in Long Island City, you're on WNYC. Do I have that right?
That's right, Brian. And hi, Ben. Thanks for your intrepid reporting. Aside from the bus route that is about a block from my apartment to his charter school, the bus was late coming the first week by maybe half an hour, 2 days, but since then has been perfect and no problem. I do think that that's rare. I don't know why some areas of the city get good stuff and bad stuff. My guess is it's a vendor issue. Having worked in the DOE in the past, I think that, vendor issues are often the problem and that it's just too much for them to handle and they don't know how to do it. I also know, as your other callers have said, that special education students really get hit the hardest. And I know that it's not just for going to and from school, but it's also for occupational therapy and physical therapy and things like that. And that those kids who need those services most don't get them, in part because of busing.
Sam, thank you very much. And I think it probably did come as a surprise to a lot of our listeners, Ben, when you gave the stat earlier that 2/3 of the kids who take the school bus to school in New York City are kids with disabilities?
That's accurate. Yeah, that's the case. Those kids are more likely to receive busing from the city in order to attend a school that's perhaps a little further away, or perhaps they don't have the wherewithal, the ability to travel to school as a typical child would.
And I am a little concerned with, you know, an implication in these stories, though obviously there are a lot of problems with school buses right now, that public education is not to be trusted, that public education is a failure. You report for the Daily News. There's a certain other tabloid in town that had a version of this story, or it might have been an editorial that ended with, "But what do you expect from the New York City public schools?"
Well, I send my child to public schools in Brooklyn. I think the public schools in New York City have many, many, many wonderful things to recommend to them. I think it's a fabulous system. You know, we have many of the greatest schools ever anywhere. So there's a lot to recommend the place.
And now they got to go out and fix the buses.
Just fix the bus system, and that'll help a lot of families do a lot better.
Daily News education reporter Ben Chapman, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.